You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Well, we left our homes up in Bristol Bay for the waters of Miami shore. With a hippo at the helm and our severance pay, we fly the pirate flag once more. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we get wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Well, the ship is a wreck, shit stains the deck as Michael Hollow's fellas make more. And Billy is a worry that he's got the scurvy, cause Chris ate all the limes in store. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we got wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Now Roy is a chum when he's on the rum, he's the glue when we spring a leak. And Stu is a mess, he does less and less, and Greg sounded worse each week. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we get wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Someone yelled ahoy, who the hell's cabin boy? Somebody named Tony, who knows? Once we got the skip, well, a mean jump ship, cause he knew we would sail to gold. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we got wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. For the pirate radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Local Hour. My name is Roy Bellamy. I'm joined along with Chris Cody and from Fox Sports Florida, Florida Panthers play-by-play announcer Steve Goldstein. Welcome to the proceedings, Cody.
I like it. What's going on? What's going on?
Roy, where's Stugatz? Roy, isn't Stugatz supposed to be here? Let's just let's address the elephant in the room right
Where
now.
Where is this guy?
All right, well, Stugatz, on his day off, decided to plan a dentist and a doctor's appointment, and he is running late, as Stugatz is wont to do.
Now, I'm not doubting that he's at the dentist right now, but there is no better excuse to get out of something than a dentist appointment, right?
Hey, like, Cody, you're hierarchy. Nicer than I am. I am doubting that he's at the dentist. You're being way too nice to him, let me tell you.
I'm thinking the same thing, Goldie. We're on the same page.
I'm on Goldie's page as well.
You'll love it. We had one producer back in the day when I was doing the morning radio like 20 years ago, and he lived in the same town that I did, and he was late a lot. I don't want to say his name because you guys might know him. And he was late a lot. So he lived in the same, like four blocks away from me. And he'd come in with all these different excuses, you know, I had the dentist, whatever. So one morning he shows up an hour and a half late. He walks in at like 7:20. The show's on the air at 6 o'clock. And he says, oh man, my alarm clock never went off. I lost power. I said, bro, I live four blocks from you. Okay. Not only did I have power, but all the traffic lights worked. Okay. You're totally lying. If you're late, just say you're late. He's like, yeah, I'm just, I'm like, you don't have to lie about it, man.
Well, Stugatz would always entrench himself in a lie. So he told me that the rice out of his mouth was numb and burning at the same time. So I don't even know what that means.
Smells like a lie. Too many details.
Yeah, way too many details. So we are halfway through the season. The Panthers have been swept by the Carolina Hurricanes. They lost four of the last six games coming into Thursday night's game versus Nashville. What's going on, Goldie? What's been... right now the problem with the Panthers recently?
Well, you know, they're 2-2-2 in the last six. You know, they lost that game in Detroit. That's probably one they like back. But, you know, going up against Dallas, they took 2 out of 3. So I thought that was pretty good by them. And against Carolina, you know, those are tough games. I mean, Carolina, Tampa, and the Panthers are three of the best four teams in the NHL. So the fact they came back in the third period, got points in both games, when you have the kind of cushion that they have because of the great start they got off to, you know, it would have been nice to grab one of those. Certainly the last game, they came back in the third and actually had the lead in regulation. So it would have been nice to hold on to that lead. But hey, at this point, when you're playing these real good teams, as long as you're getting points, it's solid. So we would have liked a couple more in the homestand, but you know, going 2-1-2 and, you know, getting points in four of the five games on the homestand against Dallas and Carolina, Was pretty good. They like to start playing with the lead a little bit more. That's going to be the big key to turning these one goal games, maybe some of these overtime losses, into wins.
Well, that's exactly right, because the Panthers have been relying on comebacks in the third period. They haven't really been scoring lately in the first period. So how exactly can the Panthers tune up their first period, getting into a good starts?
Well, there's a lot of different factors in it. You know, they haven't given up much in the first period either. So the first and second period, you know, they're not giving up a ton of goals. So these comebacks that they're having, it's not like they're down 3-4-0. They're down 1-0 or maybe 2-0. To their credit, they're able to crank it up. You know, they get maybe a little bit more riskier, defensemen jumping up, whatever the reason is. But, you know, early in these games, what I'm noticing, Roy, is, you know, they're playing well, and very often they have the territorial advantage. Just not, you know, the puck's not going in. So, you know, if that continues for 2-3 weeks, then you start to call it a trend. I think, you know, it's a lot of games because the schedule is so condensed. So it seems like it's been a long time since they've done it, since it was a 5-game homestand. You know, I feel like they're getting pretty good chances. I also think that they, you know, they start the game and they're trying to make sure that they don't play too loose. So I think in some ways they're being very responsible defensively in those first periods as well. I'm really curious to see what happens on this road trip, taking up and away from the Nashville Predators and the Columbus Blue Jackets, but they're not exactly Tampa and Carolina. Those are very tough teams to play against. And even Dallas, not having a great year, but they still went to the Cup Final last season.
Goldie, who's the starting goalie on this team? You got Bobrovsky, who's the high one of the highest paid goalies in the league. Driedger seems to be getting more of the starts in recent, you know, in recent times. So if the playoffs start tomorrow, is Driedger the starter on this team?
I'm going to say it's a great question. If the playoffs started tomorrow, I would say they start with Bobrovsky, but the leash would not be a long one because, you know, you look at the save percentage, and from that standpoint, Driedger has outplayed Bobrovsky this season. Now, what Bob has done is, except for the game against Tampa where they got beat, I think it was 6-1, you know, it's remarkable, this team, no matter who's been in goal, they've been in just about every single game this year. And with this condensed schedule, you know, and most teams can't say that. You know, you have a night where you just – it's just not there. So – I think it's hard to say who the starter is. Bobrovsky's going to play. You know, Bobrovsky played the last two games. I think if you win, you stay in. I think it might be one of those things. And I think, you know, that might be intentional to try to keep that internal competition going. So that would be my guess. The playoffs started tomorrow. Game one, Bobrovsky. But if it didn't go well, I think there'd be no hesitation to go to Chris Driedger in game two.
How's Bob taking this kind of like, you're the highest paid guy, but you don't seem to be the starter in the regular season? Is there, like, obviously he's probably saying the right things, but is there any beef here?
Yeah. You know what? I'm sure he's pretty motivated by it. That's what I'm thinking about. You know, I think he knows there's a guy behind him, and whether you're making $10 million or not, you know, he didn't get to the point he is, winning a couple of Vezina trophies, one of the best goalies in the league for about a decade, you know, by not being competitive. I got to practice on Wednesday before they left. Practice was 11 o'clock. I think I walked in there around 9:35 and he was already on the ice taking shots. So, you know, the other weird thing about this season is, you know, you can't face to face talk to guys, you know? So you ask a question like that in a normal year, I'd probably have a better answer, but I don't this year because I haven't seen the guy and talked to the guy.
Before I address the elephant in the room, let's talk about the defensive front of the goaltenders.
What's the elephant in the room? Hold on a second.
There he is.
What is the elephant? Steve Goldstein.
Whoop, there he is.
So the elephant has just swung his trunk.
Goldie, do you know one time I was on Mike and Mike and I called you Greeny?
Yes.
I was trying to reference you and I said Greeny because I have a friend, Goldie.
I think you told me that once. Yeah, you told me about that time. Yeah.
Roy, I interrupted you rudely. Go ahead. I'm the elephant in the room.
That's all right.
All right, so let's talk about the defense in front of the goaltenders. Last year, the defense allowed a lot of high-quality, dangerous shots in front of both Bobrovsky and Driedger. How has this season's defense played in front of the goaltenders?
Much better. You know, that's why the goals are way down. That's why they're in every one of these games. They don't get loosey-goosey. They don't get into track meets when they're behind. They continue to play the same way. So it's really a team thing, I think. I mean, Ekblad and Uyghur is a top pair. I think they're one of the best top pairs in the league now. So those guys internally have improved. You bring in a guy like Ratko Gudas. He thinks physicality and defense first. He plays in front of the net. And I also think, you know, more than half the forwards are new players. And all of those guys they brought in, they don't, you know, they want to get their points, but they're not cheating defensively for offense. So I think you've seen the forwards come back, play better defensively. They're a faster team. I think all of those things have contributed to them being much better defensively than they were.
Speaking of the forwards, Patrick Hornquist, when's the last time you've seen a power forward make such
power effect? Forward? Is that a position in hockey?
Yeah, that's a role. That's a yeah. role in
the mailman.
Yeah,
that's right.
No, that's a role in hockey. When's the last time you've seen a power forward on this team make such a difference?
They've never had a guy like that. You know, for years they've been saying, hey, let's get to the net. Let's get to the net. You got to have a mentality. You got to have a willingness to do it. If you go back, you know, 20 years, they had Hall of Famer Dino Cicerelli on the team for a couple of years. A guy like him did it. But you've been waiting a long time for a guy like this. I'm really shocked that Pittsburgh gave him up. You know, I know they wanted to improve their defense. So they took Matheson. But I'm surprised they give up a guy like that. Great guy. The energy he brings to the table, accountability. He's not afraid to call out teammates, which, you know, in the younger generation of players, sometimes that doesn't go over so well. He's willing to do it. Guys accept it. But for a player to stand there at that net and get beat up by opposing sticks and get beat up by the puck, I mean, this guy takes pucks off his entire body. It's really something else. And hopefully, you know, he's 34. He's got a couple years left in his contract. Hopefully, you know, he can keep giving you, you know, at least 50, 60 games a year at that high level and that high intensity, because, you know, they don't make many guys like him anymore. He was the last pick of the draft, you know. I mean, the guy, you know, comes out. He's the final pick of the NHL draft. Here he is. Yeah, here he is. He was.
Excellent.
And, you know, that year, Sidney Crosby was drafted first. They're the only teammates ever when they were together in Pittsburgh. The first pick of a draft and the last pick of a draft play together. Wow. And here's the guy, you know, with all these goals and two Stanley Cups. Pretty remarkable story.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike. And typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right. You crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Goldie, were you expecting this? Because I've made the joke for years that this team lives, they live 4 points out of a playoff spot. They live in the 9 seed. But here they are, 13-4-4, 30 points, one of the best teams in the NHL. Were you expecting this to happen this soon with this team?
No, I mean, they're fourth in the league in the standings, you know, a month and a half into it, Stugat. So I wasn't expecting them to be this good. I thought they'd be better defensively, which they are. And I thought they'd have a little more, you know, accountability, energy, you know, those types of things, you know, like these games this past week, when they're down 2-0 in the third period, like in past years, that's a 3-1 loss. That's a 4-0 loss. It's, hey, you know what? We don't have it tonight. It's too hard. You know, the Dallas Stars defense is too big and strong. We can't get to the net. Okay, let's pack it up. Let's head to Las Olas and get the sushi. That's not the case anymore. You know, now they continue to grind and they stay with it. And guys like Frank Vetrano, you know, they have this hunger in the third. So I didn't expect it to be this good. I thought they'd have a chance to maybe get one of those final playoff spots in the division, the top four make it. But for them, as you said, to be, you know, solid in the top three, with Tampa, who's the Stanley Cup champs, and Carolina, who's a legitimate Stanley Cup threat, and get points in five of the six games against those teams, you know, no, I didn't expect.
Chris Cody, was that wince you made because he said sushi?
What? I am hungry. Sounds delicious.
I am too.
Yeah, but I'm thinking you're hungry for a steak or a steak.
Oh, no, I like sushi. When I say sushi, I'm talking about shrimp tempura rolls. Like,
there you go.
Everything fried.
Chicken teriyaki roll.
That's not right. By the way, sushi guy.
Is there a restaurant gift certificate for the Sapirin Stugats? I mean, what's it?
Oh, 50-50.
I'm 50-50 club. I wasn't planning on one, but how about I just take you out for lunch? I mean, we could do
perfect.
That'll work. I haven't seen you in a while.
I know. Perfect.
You're glowing, by the way, because the Panthers are good. You're glowing, Goldie.
That's right. And you're taking me to lunch. What could be better?
Exactly.
Now, Goldie, you pull off the shaved head beautifully, by the way. I just want to say that. And as somebody, I need to do this here. I need some advice here. Is it time for me?
No, you're good, man.
Like, if you really look, I hide it well. Like, look, you see in here, like, it's not great, Goldie.
I think Goldie, though, can grow most of his hair back. Am I right?
Yeah, I can. Not up here, but over here is good.
Right,
yeah,
so that's what I mean. Like, was there an evolution to this? Like, did you just go from what I have to completely what you have now, or did you do, like, the cold? Like, what's the next step?
I went less. I was shaving the sides pretty tight for a while there. And then when it started to go on the top, you know, I was tired of the divot 175 yards from the hole. So we finally just said, let's give it a shot. And the guys at the barber shop that I always went to for years, they were saying, man, you got a good head. You should shave it. I'm like, no, it may never come back. And all.
Yes.
And finally I did it. And let me tell you, in the summer in Florida, it is the best feeling when this thing is just, it's a great feeling.
I had to do it once because I lost a bet on the show. So
I remember that.
The best showers I've ever taken. I wanted no shampoo. I was in and out in 2 minutes. Fantastic.
Yeah, but somebody put a shirt on though.
But I think what happened with Goldie was he actually looks good bald. So why go back to having hair, you know?
I've been called the white Michael Jordan for that reason only. No other reason.
That's what I think when I look at you. I think white Michael Jordan, exactly.
So based on the Panthers' performance this season, what grade would you give both Bill Zito and Joel Quenneville?
Grading it.
You know, so far, you got to give them both A's, you know, and I think Quenneville gets an A+, to be honest with you. You know, the way he's managed this thing and, you know, you have this taxi squad. It's a weird year with the COVID. So you have anywhere from 4 to 6 guys that are just hanging out and practicing. He's managed to get all those guys into games. So you never have, you know, that attitude of or any player complaining, oh, I'm not getting my shot. I'm getting passed over. No one can say that. Like these players this year with the Panthers, they've gone 10 deep on defense also. Not only is there internal competition, but every one of them, they're basically making the playing time decision themselves by the way they play. And I also think, you know, we talked about those comebacks in those third periods, Quenneville, and look, he's won 4 Stanley Cups. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He's the second most wins ever behind Scotty Bowman. There's a reason for it. He has got this unique finger on the pulse to know who's going, who might click with who. And that's been a big part of these third period comebacks. He makes these changes in the third period, puts certain guys with other guys, and it seems to be working, and he's managed the goaltending situation great. You know, there's accountability. If Sergei Bobrovsky's making $10 million but not playing as well, guess what? The guy making 8.25 is going to play 5 out of 6 games like he just did recently. I think it's he's done a great job.
And you're right. He seems to be putting new players on different lines, and he seems to be rolling all 4 lines as well. So based on that, how has the depth scoring for the Panthers done this season?
Well, the depth scoring may not be as high as you like it to be, but the depth play has been. I mean, there's no longer a fourth line here that plays, you know, 5-6 minutes and sits on the bench the whole game. These guys play a lot, and they play in key situations. So, you know, this team wanted to have more accountability, wanted to be better in their own zone. And this is the forwards, not just the defensemen. You know, the D and the goalie can't do it alone. And I think the way they've played everybody, they keep everybody into the game. You know, when you have guys sitting on the bench and they don't play, you know, it's not a great environment on the bench. Now, you know, everybody's pushing each other and he's not afraid to use a depth line, a fourth line, you know, late in the game. And it gives those guys, you know, a little bit of ownership. And, you know, like last game, we saw Los Dorinin score the go-ahead goal with 3 minutes left. You know, that kid is 22 years old. He's played well. And Quenneville says, hey, if you do the job, you're getting in there in the key moments. And I think guys are kind of rising to the occasion with that.
Is this something where in the playoffs we'll see Huberdeau and Barkov play together more? Because I know the whole like strategy of like, you know, the second line's mm-hmm. better with Huberdeau, but I when they're playing together, they get excited. So I just like, I want to see them playing together more. Am I crazy?
You know, no, you're not crazy. If you ask them, especially Huberdeau, he probably wants to play more with Barkov. The fact is they're both top, you know, Barkov's top 10 player in the league. Huberdeau's a top 10 scorer. They need to carry their own line. They can't be relying on each other. And the other thing is Barkov is better when he's got two guys that can fly. And we saw that with Duclair and Verhaeghe. Now in where we're seeing it with Vetrano and Verhaeghe. And I just think, you know, sometimes when they play together, you're right, it's pretty. But I do think sometimes they overpass. You know, they get almost too fancy. And, you know, teams, it's easier to key on them. You know, you could take your best defenseman or your best defense pair and put them on against that line, especially when they're on the road, when that team has the last change, and it's easier to match up. So at times, yeah, when it's not working, like the other night, they put them together in the third period, it worked, and they play together on the power play. But I think overall for this team, it's been proven when they've been apart that the team is better.
Goldie, what type of team do they match up with the worst? Meaning, I guess what I'm asking you is, what's the team in the East in their conference that if they meet them in the playoffs, you're going to go into it going, oh, this is not a great matchup. What's the team that threatens them the most?
Great question. Certainly it's Tampa, because Tampa's just better than everybody. I mean, the guy's the best goalie in the league. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't given up a goal three games running. I watched a lot of the games, Stugatz. They didn't play great. I mean, they played very well all the time, but the guy gave up nothing. They beat Dallas the other night, 1-0.
Right.
That Dallas goal is good, too.
Yeah, Hudobin's very good. Yeah. He carried him to the cup last year, yeah. And I think they have the best defenseman in Victor Hedman. So, you know, I think Tampa would be the team. Carolina, just because of their speed and the tenacity, they got great special teams. But Tampa would definitely be the team I think everybody would say you'd like to avoid. Now, here's the trick. If somehow, and it's going to be very tough, somehow they could finish first in the division ahead of Tampa and Carolina, you wouldn't have to play either one of them in the first rounds. One plays four and two plays three. But as you know, that's going to be a big challenge if they could finish first. The way it looks now, it's going to be the Panthers and the Hurricanes probably in the first round.
We're laughing at Chris because he just typed into the chat, I learned today that hockey has power forwards and special teams.
I didn't know.
There you go.
Jesus Christ.
That's power play killing, right? Like, that's a special team play? Is that what
we're talking about? Yes, power play and penalty.
I don't know
killing.
The terms, all right? Yes. I like hockey. I love watching it. I'm just still, you know, I'm still learning.
I can understand the power forward situation, but special team.
That Hornquist, you guys talk, he just stands in front of the goal. I know you guys already talked about that. That's crazy.
There you go.
What an idiot. Those pucks come in fast.
That's a high value.
He must have no teeth. Hornquist, all his teeth are fake at this point.
Who has the fewest teeth on the team, Goldie?
Oh, that's Juho Lamico. You ever see that guy smile? So when Stugatz, you'll like this one because I was quick on my feet. You appreciate that. When Lamico scored his first goal, and it was his first NHL goal in Carolina, right. I said he's closing in on the missing teeth to tooth ratio. He's now cut it in half because the whole front is gone. The whole thing's gone.
That's why you're one of the best in the business, Goldie. I mean, that is it. I mean, right there. That is tremendous. Your fondest sports bang memory.
Oh, great. Let me think. It had to be something with you, obviously. I'm trying to think if anything great happened. I remember we used to play the poker. That was always exciting.
Yes, that was.
So many great segments on that show.
So many great segments, you know. But here's Billy's fondest memories are me not paying him, which I did, okay?
Eventually.
Goldie, you never had an issue with payment, right? Well, I pay Goldie because Goldie, you know, I mean, Goldie would bring some sponsors to the show. Billy brought nothing.
Well, it took a little bit of time sometimes, but yes. And, you know, I knew where you lived, so there was no problem. This wasn't like going back to my younger days in Brooklyn, you know. I mean, it was all good.
Calmer panic, I remember. Little stick figures running around there.
That's right.
Yes, yeah. We reinvented sports talk, I got to tell you, on sports
You
talk.
Did, man. You were, let me tell you, with that show, you, okay, saw where all of this was going.
Yes.
Way before. I mean, way before. Maybe ESPN saw it with PTI, with Wilbon and Kornheiser, but you saw where it was all heading. Because when we were doing Sports Bang, you know, all of that type of show, which is 95% now, was maybe 5% of what was on the air.
Yeah.
So nice job by you.
I'm a visionary, Goldie. And listen,
you are.
And you parlayed it very nicely into being a CBS News and sports anchor.
Right.
Good job out of you.
I'm still doing that. So what the heck? Yeah. You know, when they asked me to do the news, you know, I was filling in doing the sports, as you know.
Yeah.
And they called me in one day and said, would you like to anchor the news? And I said, would you be interested in anchoring the news, the way they phrased it? I said, well, yes, I'd be interested because I'm always interested in whatever's going on. I go, but can I ask you a question? They go, yeah. They go, why do you want me to anchor your news? I couldn't get that.
Right.
And the reason she gave me at the time, the news director said, is because you sports guys, you know, there's a lot of people that can read the prompter.
Yeah.
But you sports guys are good when the prompter is not on, when you're going back and forth or you're doing an interview or the prompter breaks or there's breaking news, and you'd be really good at that. I thought it was an interesting answer.
So. I thought it was going to be just Sports Bang. That's why.
No, but Goldie's right. I don't even think it's sports guys, right? I think it's sports radio guys. Like you just, like we're not working off a prompter, right? So you have to improvise.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And to this day, even when I do the news, it's easier for me when it's still harder for me to read a story about, you know, President Joe Biden and the administration has tabbed Merck to aid Johnson & Johnson in vaccine production. Let's go to Stu Gatz live. And like reading that is still harder for me than, all right, Stu Gatz is here with the weather. Man, I was driving in. It was raining. Like that's still, that's easier for me still. Yeah.
I know it is. Roy, I'm sucking up your hockey time. Go ahead. You got 2 minutes.
Oh, all right. Well, let's talk about the other divisions here. Who do you think are going to come out of these divisions and will basically make the playoffs? And what surprises do you see in each of these divisions? Like Chicago, we didn't expect the Blackhawks to do any of this season.
They were supposed to be better.
Yeah. The Blackhawks, I mean, honestly, the Blackhawks and the Panthers are probably the two biggest surprises in the entire league right now. You know, I think Toronto tried to get a little tougher, a little meaner, a little more, you know, veteran-like, kind of like what the Panthers did. And they signed Joe Thornton and Wayne Simmonds. I think it's worked out. So them being on top of the whole league is pretty amazing. I still think Washington, you know, I still like the Capitals. They had the COVID issues and they're still right there. So I like Washington and the Islanders in that division. I think one of those teams is going to come out of that division. And then in that other division, you know, I still think Vegas. I know the Blues are really good and there's some other teams that can get it done. But so if I had to say, I think Vegas, the Leafs, Washington or the Islanders, and even though, you know, the Panthers hopefully can win the first round and then play Tampa in the second round or avoid Tampa in the first round and play them in the second round, you still have to favor Tampa coming out of that division.
And finally, who do you think is going to win the Cup this season?
Wow.
Panthers.
You know, it's such a crapshoot, Roy, because it's a condensed season. You still have, you know, the COVID thing out there a little bit. You know, in a condensed season, I don't know how the injuries are going to play out once you start getting to games 40 and 50. These guys are playing so much hockey. But I'm going to say that this is the year that the Toronto Maple Leafs, again, I'm saying it right now, only 25 games into the season.
Right.
I'm going to go with the Maple Leafs.
Wow!
I think they've been knocking on the door. And, you know, it's going to be hard to go back-to-back. I think Tampa's got a great shot to do it, especially to get Kucherov back. But, you know, I like when teams have that disappointment for a few years. I mean, Tampa had it for like 6 years before they won last year. I like when teams knock on the door.
Panthers have had a lot of pain. Panthers have had a lot of pain, Goldie.
The P in Panther stands for pain.
Yep.
I mean, yeah. Exactly. Hey, Goldie, we're going to let you go. We appreciate this. We're happy team is good. We're happy that you're doing well. We love you. I am telling you, I'm giving you time to think about this, okay? We're going to start doing these during the local hour. I want you to take us through some of the best, greatest moments, most embarrassing moments of you, Joe Rose, and Jeff DeForest.
Oh, wow.
An oral history of the first team on WQAM, okay? We're going to do it. I'm telling you right now.
Let's do it. I'm in. Okay.
All right. Goldie, thank you, man.
Thanks, Goldie.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.